And went to Stoddart Kennedy for advice. "Live with the men," said Kennedy. "Go everywhere they go. Make up your mind, you will share all their risks and more if you can do any good. Go up to them, laugh with them, joke with them. You can pray with them sometimes, but pray for them always." At my ordination, almost exactly 30 years ago this year, I promised to be faithful in prayer. Over the years, I've often been asked to say a prayer by a grieving family, a sick person, or someone whose loved one is sick, a haunted household, someone living with his or her demons, or perhaps someone needing assurance of forgiveness. In the army, when a soldier asked, "Say one for me, Padre," it was sometimes in jest, along with my only working one day a week, or being responsible in some way for the weather. But often it was deadly serious. I remember sitting alongside a young recruit whose brother was in debt to criminal organizations and had been kidnapped. And I sat beside him in chapel and lit a candle for his brother and prayed with him. The brother was found a few days later, very badly beaten, but still alive. And I wonder to this day whether that recruit remembered to thank God. But what I always used to say is that we all have a hotline to God. God listens to prayer. God answers prayer. And some people only think in terms of asking for something, of him upstairs, or the big man, as one soldier called God. We petition from below. He gives from on high. And that came from a biblical scholar. But the very words petition and intercession suggest going to someone great, going to a king or the boss with our requests and hoping he'll give us what we want. But Jesus had a different image. He tells a story about the friend of a traveler. The traveler travels at night to avoid the heat of the day, just as we might travel at night to avoid the traffic, though at the moment the heat as well. So he arrives at his friend's house, knowing that when he asks for supper and a bed, he will not be refused. It is the way of things. But the friend has run out of bread, and the only bake enough for the day, and it's all gone. So he goes and knocks at his neighbor's door for some. But the neighbor is tucked up in bed with his family, probably a goat or sheep or two as well. It really is inconvenient, but he can't ignore the knocking. To refuse to help would bring shame, so however unwilling, he gets up and fetches the bread. What's the point? The point is, God is not like that. God doesn't need to be knocked up. God doesn't need to be begged. He is our Father. Whenever I enter a church, the prayer that always comes to mind is the one that Jesus gave to his disciples, the one we know as the Lord's Prayer. I used to say the prayer that Jesus taught us until in a little country village, a chapel one day, an old lady said to me, "Yes, ever since I was a child, whenever you say that, I always think of a tortoise." So I avoid the phrase now. The prayer Jesus gave to his disciples. It's the prayer I can say when I can't pray, when I can't find words. Our Father, Abba. When Jesus teaches us to pray, it is with a loving greeting, not to the big man, not to him upstairs, but to our loving Heavenly Father, who is as close to us as our dearest friend. A father, as William Barclay puts it, who delights to supply his children's needs. Nor is it just about wanting something. As one writer puts it, it's because we are God's people, engaged in God's work, that we need God's steadying and empowering presence in order that love may win its way. In order that love may win its way. And Anthony Bloom spoke of a great void within us, an empty space, an emptiness that is dark, still unknown, undiscovered, that cannot be filled with anything but God Himself. So, says Jesus, the beginning of prayer is to hallow God's name. For the rest, it is to trust God absolutely. For God will hear our prayer, and God will never let us down. Ask, and it will be given to you. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. But, you may say, I have often asked, and it hasn't been given. I asked for help with a mortgage and lost my house. I prayed for healing for someone and they got worse and died. I prayed for release for someone and they didn't die but went on suffering. So what's the point? Trust me, says Jesus. Trust God. You can count on God. God will never let you down. God knows what is needed. What I can promise, says Jesus, is that God will always be with you. Your comfort in sorrow, your strength in weakness. Yes, it may rain on the day of the wedding, although we pray for sunshine. Yes, that dreadful disease may strike me or someone I love, though we pray for healing. God's Son was executed in agony on a rough wooden cross, though he prayed in the garden to be spared the ordeal. St. Augustine's mother prayed that he would come to have faith and stay at home. Well, he came to have faith, but God had other plans for him, and he was sent to Britain to be the first Archbishop of Canterbury. Trust me, says Jesus. Trust God. God is incredibly generous, as I once heard Desmond Tutu say. So, when you pray, Jesus says, pray, Father, your kingdom come. And then ask God for what you need at the present moment, what will sustain you today and tomorrow, food for the body and also food for the soul. Ask God, who loves you so much, for whatever it is you need to get you through this day. Give us this day our daily bread. God won't let you down. He knows before you ask. But in asking, you're saying to him, God, I trust you. I don't trust you enough, but I want to trust you as Jesus did. I pray to you in his name, and in his name, I put myself into your hands. And when you pray, says Jesus, ask God to make you clean. Ask for forgiveness, and he will forgive you as long as you let him. A well-known United Reformed Church teacher and preacher, John Ferguson, one of the very first teachers in the Open University, once said that only two things can stand in the way of God's forgiveness: the refusal to admit that we need it, and the refusal to forgive others. Now, I remember, as a local preacher, taking as my text, "Forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us," and suggesting in my sermon that God would not forgive us unless we forgive others. Now, there was a retired minister named Patrick who always sat in front of the pulpit in that country chapel in his clerical collar, which was a bit intimidating for a local preacher. But when he took me to task afterwards, it was with grace and tenderness. Patrick could not believe that God would ever withhold his forgiveness. And thinking about it, nor could I. The German poet Heine said, "God will forgive me. That's his business." And John Ferguson adapted that. "God will forgive me. That's his nature." And that's what Patrick was reminding me. It is in God's nature to forgive. But it's possible to put an obstacle in the way, to clog up the conduit, preventing God's free grace to take effect. And what John Ferguson was saying was, it is impossible, literally impossible, to accept God's forgiveness and be unforgiving towards others. It simply means that we have not accepted God's forgiveness. In other words, resentment closes the heart. So that petition in the Lord's Prayer is asking that God will open our hearts and break down the barrier, open up the channel of grace. It's a prayer asking God to make it possible to accept his forgiveness, which he freely offers. Abraham has a long conversation with God, asking him to spare the wicked cities of Sodom and Gomorrah if there were even only a few righteous ones to be found there. God listens patiently and promises that it shall be so. But in the event, there were none save Lot and his daughters. Mrs. Lot, unfortunately for her, looked back. You can read the story in Genesis. God answers every prayer, but every prayer is two-sided. Every prayer is a call for us to be faithful, to hallow God's name, and to bring healing and forgiveness with us wherever we go, to acknowledge God as Father and Mother, and all people as our brothers and sisters. To trust God each day, to be sufficient for each day, and to turn to God in all our troubles and temptations, that we might not let God down. That's why, in our model prayer, we ask to be protected from anything that is beyond our strength, any trial or temptation. But prayer works, and prayer surprises. After this, we sing a hymn and then an opportunity for people to share their stories. And no doubt, as you've heard stories over the weeks gone by and the weeks to come, you will hear that prayer does work and does surprise. There was a Methodist minister in Poplar when it was a great bustling port, the Poplar of Call the Midwife. Slightly ahead of that generation, funnily enough. And he was a Methodist minister in Poplar for many, many, many years and eventually became mayor of Poplar. And his name was Lax. I'm not even sure what his first name was. He only ever referred to himself as Lax. And Lax of Poplar tells this story of somebody he used to know, Mrs. Briggs, and her little girl, Kitty. Kitty was 6 years old and very, very poorly. And she had a brother who was fighting in Europe. This was during the war. And they went to hospital because of Kitty not being well, and so she was going for a checkup or something, whatever they did. And there were some soldiers there. They were Canadian soldiers. And they were obviously had been to the front, they'd come back, and they were going back to the front. And one of them said to Mrs. Briggs, seeing little kitty there. Could you ask your little girl to go out with me and to this colleague of ours who is dying from his wounds and say her prayers? Because he has a little girl about the same age back in Canada. And so they did. They went to his bedside and she said the little prayers that her mother taught her, just as my mother taught me. Probably gentle Jesus, meek and mild, look on me, a little child, and so on. And God bless Mummy, God bless Daddy, God bless Tommy, over with the army in France. And in his delirium, the soldier held her and stroked her hair, thinking she was his own little girl. And he died in peace, the most peaceful he'd been for many days, the nurses said. And Kitty went back to her mum, Mrs. Briggs, and then as they were walking, or waiting for the next thing to happen, because they used to wait in hospitals in those days as much as they do these days, one of the soldiers came to her and said, "Could you ask your little girl to say her prayers again? For me." And she did. And Mrs. Briggs, very wise EastEnder from London, uneducated but loving, spoke to him about the meaning of those prayers. And on that morning or afternoon, whatever it was, he became a follower of Jesus Christ. So prayer does work and does surprise. Our relationship with God depends on prayer, and our prayer depends on our relationship with God. But any relationship we have is through Jesus. God is our Father because he is the one who Jesus calls Father, Abba. And it's through Jesus that God, in Edward Schweitzer's words, turns prayer once more into children's conversation with their Father. Amen. Now, when I went to the John Hellier's